Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Savior, bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. We hear the gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus teaches, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, friends and neighbors. I am so curious as to why you are here. What would make all of you pause in the middle of what I'm sure is a busy week with all that's going on in your life and show up to Ash Wednesday worship? Are you here tonight because you knew that we would be marking you? Did you know that you would file in a line that would lead to an ashen cross on your brow? Did you know that we would spend time talking out loud about our own sin and failures? Did you know that we would be lamenting the violence we cannot stop, the hatred we cannot contain? Are you here tonight to sit amidst other people knowing the prognosis of the human condition would be spoken? Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I wish I could sit with each and every one of you to find out why it is you came to this place tonight. I wonder if the pull to this ancient worship ritual is really a pull towards truth. Tonight, perhaps more than any other time, we tell the truth about who we are. We began this worship in confession, pleading for mercy, because we need to tell the truth of who we are, and we are a people in need of mercy. Is that why you are here tonight? Tonight marks the beginning of the 40-day-long season of Lent. 40 days when scripture and our worship and even the music heard in this place will work to turn us again and again towards God. We'll hear stories from the Bible that deal with the real difficult elements of our living: temptation and evil and division and doubt and fear and death. What is it all for? What is this sobering season of faith really all about? So we can come together for some communal shaming? To be brought into humility or a depressive state? Are we here tonight because once a year it's a good idea to gather together and feel really badly about ourselves? Well, this holy night and the 40 days that follow are not about wallowing in despair. This holy night and the 40 days that follow are about confessing the truth of who we are. And in order to do that, we need to claim the truth about who God is in our life. No amount of proper fasting, negative self-talk, or constant comparisons, not even perfect church attendance, will save us. No amount of generous giving or endless hours serving will purify us. I think we are here tonight because we've all tried that. We've become our own gods in an attempt to get right with the world or our very self. We try at school, at work, at home. We strive in our relationships with our loved ones. We strive with the culture to be someone who belongs. We even try so very hard right here at church. And we need to be set free from ourselves, from this life of controlling and living like our own God. Remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. It is the entire arc of our lives. We come from God's earth, and we will return one day to God's earth. Ashes, shapeless, lifeless earth, our beginning and our end. Tonight, we sang the words of Psalm 51, that God would create in us clean hearts and renew a right spirit. This is the truth of who God is, Psalm 51 tells us. In our formless, wandering, stumbling days, we pray to a God who is creating and renewing again and again and again. This is who God is, the one who created the earth, the one who created you and me. If God is God, the giver of all life, then we can stop trying to save ourselves. Tonight and the season of Lent is about continually being knocked off our own pedestals and confessing that if God is God, then I am not. If God is God, you are not. It's not a dismal word, sisters and brothers in Christ. This is our salvation. Two different times in this worship service, we are told to remember. Remember that you are dust. And in another moment, we are told to remember Jesus in our taking of the bread and the wine. Tonight, we remember who we are, ashes to ashes. And God, through the mercy of Jesus, brings us to the table to remember who God is. From ashen cross to feast of life, Jesus brings us salvation. Jesus brings life to our certain death. We do not have to save ourselves. This life of faith is a nebulous, vague, wilderness wandering type of experience, isn't it? To navigate it, we must continue to tell the truth of who we are and who God is, and we must continue to ask hard questions and be together as the people of God. Alone, we have no shape, no form, no practices for this life of faith. But together we are something different. Because of what Jesus does for us, in the suffering, fallen powers of this world, Jesus gives us a new shape. It is the shape of the outstretched cross. The shape of the cross that's now before us and on our brow. The shape of the cross is our hope. Hope even in the universal truth of death. Our beginning is with God, and our end will be in God. We are not dead, ashen people, for our God is creating and renewing, even in our death. This is the truth of this night. Are you here to be set free? Are you here to be forgiven? Are you here to surrender? Are you here to be together with God and with one another? Regardless of why your feet shuffled through the door, you are marked with the cross, which speaks truth and grace to you tonight. The cross of Christ that will return us every day that we live, and most certainly on that day when we die. The cross will return us again to God. Amen.